What up, though? We do this for Memorials Day and Veterans Day. I got my man Shad Meshad, National Veterans Foundation. He's there for the vets. And Shad, you brought David Urieta. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks for having me.
Shad, always welcome.
Man, it's beautiful to be back.
Great to see you, man.
You too, man.
Great to see you. Why don't you give everybody a little quick reminder of what you been through and what brought you to where you are now?
Well, Vietnam, 1970, mental health officer, 82nd Airborne, come back just like a lot of these young kids that are coming back, but different war, but still readjust, trying to get back to the world after experiencing war. Had the opportunity to come to LA and start a program here for the largest VA hospital at the time to address readjustment issues as the war was going on in 71, 72, 73.
And that's something they haven't gotten right yet.
No. They hadn't. It's shocking. I was looking at a documentary I was in. My staff laughs at it. It was shot back in 72. By the VA, and they actually didn't release it because it was pretty negative by the veterans that were being served. And we still have a lot of that, a lot of great people in the VA, but it's still navigating the VA and the paperwork, the bureaucracy, and just not user-friendly. And that's, you know, I started the Vet Center program under Carter, which is putting the centers for veterans out in the community. I set up the first 100. Now there's over 300. Still not enough, and they're overwhelmed because I thought our war was the last one. And
now they keep fighting, bro.
There's
good money in that shit, man.
There's trillions.
That's good trillions. It is. Someone needs some democracy over there. Let's go give them some democracy.
Democracy. Don't get me going, man. I'm trying to be cool, dude. I'll let you roll, but you got it. You know, I've been on the show a few times, and you know the battles that we have. But we, you know, the first program is still going. That's the Vet Centers. But in 33 and a half years ago, I started the National Veterans Foundation. Sort of fill in the gaps because I realized that most of these men and women coming out of war do not know where to start, how to restructure themselves because of the unbelievable structure you have in the military. That's one thing you learn is structure, discipline. But then one day you're out.
So you got these guys that have been through the shit come out and they just are fucking
hit the streets.
They don't, it's like, here you are, you're on your own.
There's no DI street officer to say, okay, now we're going to train you to be a civilian.
Right. And David, how did you come along and meet Shad?
I met Shad in about maybe 2013, 2014. One of my best friends I grew up with, his uncle is an Iraq War veteran as well.
And did you serve as well?
Yes, I did. I was a U.S. Navy corpsman.
Okay.
I served in Iraq in the Al Anbar province from 2007-2008.
Okay.
You know, I was part of the 1st Marines, 3rd Amphibious Assault Battalion. So we were out there as a provisional rifle company.
What is that? Break that down for I don't speak Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marines.
So a corpsman, you know, a corpsman is enlisted in the Navy, and you're either blue side or green side.
Okay.
And that means you either stay, you know, on ship or in naval hospitals, things like that. I was greenside, so
that means
I was attached, to a Marine division.
They put you out in...
Yeah, I was a field corpsman. Layman's terms, you know, a medic. But, you know, we're not medics. We're a little bit better. We're corpsmen.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't be knocking the Army there. Hey.
I mean, someone's got to fucking patch y'all motherfuckers back together.
It's just a friendly grudge match. You know, we're all part of the same team trying to get the same goal. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's for
just,
sure.
It's just friendly stuff.
Friendly rivalries.
Friendly rivalries, you know, it really doesn't mean nothing. My buddy's uncle, he came out and he started working for Shad, and he got word. I got out in 2010.
Yeah.
And he asked me, you know, if I was squared away when I came out.
How were you when you came out?
I was okay. You know, when I was in Iraq, it wasn't the Wild West anymore. It was more of a policing environment.
Okay.
So, you know, keep the peace, found weapons caches all the time, you know. A lot of, I thought it was a little more humanitarian as well, because out there, you know, not everybody has, you know, the advanced, not even advanced medical practice or anything like that, something simple. An example for me was one day we were on a patrol, and people knew I was a corpsman. You know, they knew I was medical, and this little girl had a scratch on her foot. You know, something simple we take for granted here, like, oh, you got a paper cut, a little scratch, you know,
right.
Go wipe it off with hydrogen peroxide water. And this little girl got infected. Her foot got infected because she didn't have that.
She not,
didn't have any.
She didn't have
like
clean
that.
Water. No,
well, you know, river water, but, you know, nothing like us here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, you know, gave her aid for a few days, like a week maybe. And, you know, tell her to patch it up, you know, cleaned it off, some alcohol, put some Neosporin on for the rest of the week, bandage it up. And, you know, she's fine. You know, there's crusty stuff growing on her foot when I got to her.
It's crazy.
And then, you know, she was fine. So
stuff we take for granted out here, huh?
Stuff that we do take for granted. Anyway, so I met Freddie, and he asked me if I was squared away. You know, he's like, hey, do you have everything in line? You got your jabbo going? You know, what's going on? And I told him, yeah, like, you know, the military gives you something called TAPS class. It's a transition assistant program class, something like that. And you talk to, you know, a veteran service officer, things like that. And they ask you, like, hey, what's your plan? What do you want to do? I'm like, well, I want to go to school and use my GI Bill. Kind of a fool if you don't use that.
Cause yeah.
Free money to go to school. I got a free education.
Right.
And luckily, you know, I had a good headshed too at my clinic. And a lot of those guys, you know, they were really on our backs on, like, hey, did you sign up for post 9/11 GI Bill? Did you sign up for your classes already? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? I took a year off to kind of relax and like decompress from getting out of active duty. I did work. But then, you know, 2011 hit and boom, I went to Cal State LA. And, you know, I just hit the ground running after that. And, you know, I got my degree finally. And I was one of the lucky ones.
You are a success story.
I guess I don't want to call myself a success.
Let me say he is.
888-742-3345. We'll talk to anybody that served that's going through a thing and needs some direction.
Yeah, that's the big issue. That's the big issue.
You helped me, so I appreciate it. You helped me with a little PTSD.
Hey.
That was fucking cool.
I'm honored. You help us. You help us quite a bit. You get the word out. Are we live right now?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. You know, David's one of the lucky ones, and he had family in place. He had his cousin, Freddie, who worked for me for years. The big problem with the majority, a high percentage, let me put it that way, I won't say a majority, is coming back and not having any connection, no family. Ex-girlfriend, this or that, and really don't know.
Man, I hear so much
what the next step is.
Like, dudes going over there and their girls cheating on them, shit. That's all I hear when they call up.
Well, you got to realize these are 18, 19-year-olds, and that happens whether you're in the service or not. It's just tougher when you're going to war, and at that age and emotionally, you know, that is the one. And we've all been there, you know, 18 and 19. This is the girl I'm going to marry and I'm going to have my family with or whatever. And obviously, even in Vietnam War, the same-o. I mean, I can't tell you how many Dear John letter vets that I had to work with in the combat zone that were right in combat and got, you know, too bad. And I'm out of here, or became, you know, in the peace march. And then all of a sudden, their lover was a bad guy because he was fighting in this war, you know.
So especially with that.
They didn't have any wisdom. They didn't understand, you know. It just happens.
These guys are getting drafted for the most part.
Yeah, that was the thing. It's too bad they don't – well, I probably get killed for this. But the one thing about the draft is, you know, more than less than 1% are serving their country. I think it's just a blip on the screen. If individuals like you in this station – didn't put the word out about what veterans are dealing with, I think it's one of the 2,000 stations on your cable line. You know, it's not anything in the front page or what. And a few of us are just trying to put it out there that regardless of whether it's less than 1% or whatever, they do something that no American citizen is asked to do. And that's give their life and their soul to whatever wherever they're sent. And it's unfortunate that a lot of times their life and their soul and their parts of their bodies are taken away from them, and they come back and people are uncomfortable looking at them or being around them.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 888-742-3345. John.
Yeah, hello.
Go ahead, man. You on?
Yeah, I had a quick question. dealing with like PTSD, when did you like know that you really needed to get help? Or did you, you know, handle it on your own for a while?
What'd you go through, John?
Did you reach a breaking point?
What'd you go through, John?
Just, you know, I served in the military, was in a combat zone. And just, you know, dealing with everyday life, man, family, friends, you know, just want to socialize again, getting back to being the person you used to be.
Go ahead, Shad, you can help.
Well, that is a very common story. I mean, it's... You changed quite a bit. I mean, you know, I remember a lot of vets saying they felt like they went over at 18 and came back 80 years old. And it's just hard to relate to tell anybody the horror that war has and what you participate in, even though, you know, in our war it was kill a commie for Christ, you know, this war it's kill a raghead or whatever. Everything is dehumanized and you come back. And even though you may go through a few-week TAP program, as David was talking about or whatever, these thoughts and memories are freeze-framed in your mind. And it really takes professional counseling, which I've done since I got back almost, you know, 48 years now, helping people transition out of those negative thoughts and experiences and trying to move on. Majority, like I said, in the study, 60% do come back maybe after a couple of few years they eventually move on with their life, but 40% have really difficult time readjusting and coming back for whatever reasons. We don't have time to get into that and how the brain changes, but the bottom line is,
how does the brain change? Break it down for me.
Well, the cortex, the front brain, the part that stores memory and stuff, there's good memories and bad memories, we all have it, but trauma is catastrophic events. And it makes a definite change in the brain patterns, and it's stored there. And it activates at any time. Anything connected to the trauma, sound, smell, any of the five senses can kick it off. If I had it now, some smell or something in this.
It brings you right back
to it.
And
here would bring me right back. I would start acting like I'm in that position, whether I'm getting rocketed or shot at or whatever. You'd see me crawling or running or screaming or asking for, hey, Jude, come over, help me. I need a medic or whatever. And all of a sudden you're embarrassed because you're in Ralph's supermarket.
Right.
And you're crawling around the floor and people call the police.
Does that really happen?
Oh, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. I think there was a great scene, another scene in Hurt Locker where detonator guy comes back and he's in the supermarket. I remember this so many times, and walking down the row and seeing 400 different kinds of cereal and 400 of this and wondering, is this what it's all about? Is this what I fought for? Is, you know, I don't even know how to make a choice in cereal for my family or whatever. I'm lost. The only place, the most significant thing in your life was in the buddy system. All that sort of thing comes to life in combat. That's all you had.
You just made that shit sound so trivial. You know what I mean? Like, you fought for all that, and you just come back to the store, and it's just
everything
a bunch
is,
of fucking cereal.
Everything's trivial. Conversations, even though the type of conversations you had with your brother, sister, your ex, your wife, your parents is not the same. And they're talking cereal and shopping and stuff. It has nothing to do with the unit that you fought in, whether it was Vietnam or, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, or anywhere in the world. That's a whole different level of experience, and it's hard to detoxify yourself from that camaraderie and that experience when somebody's totally got your back and vice versa. And I don't think you think about that in Ralph's supermarket or Vaughn's or something like that. Just
let's go to Ian. And he's Ian, you're a Marine.
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Jim?
Good. Where'd you serve?
Thank you for coming on. I was actually over in TQ 2004-2005. It's over in Iraq. Doc over there probably knows where it is. It's just right outside of Fallujah in Ramadi.
Yeah, you were in that was a difficult time right there.
Yeah, we were over I'm with 3-6, 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines. We were in Fallujah during Operation Phantom Fury, and I was one of the lucky ones that only had to do one tour. I kind of did my tour later on in my enlistment. But, you know, it was really tough coming home, you know. People just didn't understand, you know, what we were going through. And suffered for a while.
What did you go through? Like, talking about it kind of gives – people like me a better understanding of what you what were some of the things that you went through, man?
I mean, it's just things, you know. We're doing security patrols, you know, through the streets. We're going house to house, building to building. Essentially, what it was is we were trying to get all of these insurgents that were, you know, taking all these families, you know, killing them. We're trying to push them out of Fallujah, you know, get rid of them. Trying to liberate Fallujah, you know.
So that's high stress. You're kicking in every door. You don't know what you're gonna get.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. So you know, we made it through. Somehow, I don't know how we did it, but with one loss, and which is, you know, it's amazing, but you know, it was one of the hardest losses that we ever had.
So how you doing now?
You know, out of all of our brothers, I'm doing one of the best. My wife is amazing. She helped me more than anyone. I have some brothers that they're homeless. You know, they are addicts, alcoholics. They can't cope day to day. You know, they're on so much, you know, medication either through the VA or on the street. You know, it's hard. So and I had a real hard time when I first got back, probably for the first couple of years. But my wife helped me out, and my parents were a huge role too. They set me up for success. I bought their business. I'm a business owner now, and I try and help out, you know, fellow brothers around here, you know, that need help. But I mean, I still suffer a little bit, you know, with mental health issues.
What were you gonna say, Shad?
Yeah, listen, for your buddies and even for yourself, don't hesitate to call the National Veterans Foundation. We're open 9 to 5. Pacific Standard Time, 5 days a week, 888-777-4443, or you can go online and chat with us at nvf.org for National Veterans Foundation. But pass that on as best you can. Hopefully, you know, Jude and them will help. I don't know how it works. Anybody needs to contact Sirius Radio or whatever, but we cover the whole country, all veterans, all families and their kids, and we're doing it right now as we're doing this interview. Both of us are pulled off the hotline so we could do the show and get the word out for individuals like you. But you hang in there. If you need to talk, we're there. Just call us at that number, and if you need it repeated, I'm sure Jude will repeat it again at the end of the show.
888-777-4443. It's four numbers you need to remember. 888-777-4443. Let's go to Rob. He's an active Marine. What's up, Rob?
Hey, yo, what up, Jude? Hey, quick question. So I'm still in. I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, outside all that. Camp Litternik in Afghanistan. Why do I get mad so quick? I mean, nothing crazy. I just like staring at somebody's face makes me angry at Walmart. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're going through, man.
Go ahead, David.
I just think it's the frustration of it all. You know, you and I were used to, or you're still used to something so structured, like Shad was saying, things moving along, you know, people just being squared away. And when you go to Walmart, it's a madhouse. And
like people just buying random shit with their babies, not even doing anything, like just get in and get out. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly, man. You know, that was my problem when I first got out.
I mean, I'm not even in the Army, and just moving out to L.A. made me want to do that shit. I'm like, you fucking, it takes 20 minutes to pour a fucking cup of coffee. Are you goddamn kidding me? You fucking idiot.
Or park.
It's like, Jesus Christ. How does he deal with this anger? Because I have a feeling that Rob's way better at killing than I am.
I mean, luckily for me, you know, it was just time just getting back into civilian lifestyle. I didn't talk to anybody, but I had a really good support group, friends, family. And, you know, they never really pushed on questions or anything like that. You know, I would tell them just certain things. And I, you know, just a support group. And, you know, it's just important to know that you're not alone. You're not the only one going through that. You know, my experience may be different from yours or, you know, from the guy next to me. But, you know, Shad was from a different war, but, you know, pretty much still the same story. You know, we all relate and connect to each other. And like Shad said, if you ever just need to call us, I have Marines that I talk to, you know, like not Marines, but I'm just so used to say Marines. I have vets that I talk to, you know, maybe 2 to 3 times a week just because they like to talk to somebody and shoot the shit.
Just, and someone that actually understands where they're coming from.
And someone that actually understands from. And, you know, a lot, sometimes we crack jokes, you know. Like, when I started talking to Vietnam vets, we started talking about similar experiences, and they said, man, I don't know how you did it out there in the desert. You can't even take cover. You know, you got a rock. And I'm like, man, I don't know how you did it in the jungle. You can't see what the hell you're shooting at.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, just that kind of camaraderie, you talk to them with them, it makes them feel better. You know, it makes them feel like they're not alone. And
I even find, like, with my, like, I got some vet friends, and we got dark senses. Like, we got, our humor is dark. You know what I mean? And it's my shit is dark because I've seen some dark shit growing up, and their shit is dark because they went through some dark shit. And, like, you could, like, We can only crack these jokes with each other. I go crack that joke at a party and I'm a fucking monster and they want me to fucking leave. Did you find
that's 100% correct? Yeah,
you're right on, G. But I want to ask this guy if he's still in. You know, are you getting out soon? Or are you planning to make a career in the Marines?
No, I'm in still. I'm staying in. But no, I just listen to Jude, and I listen to Hate It or Love It, or like somebody shit on John, I feel better all the time.
I'm doing it for the armed forces.
Glad I can help. You can also call our hotline, and it's outside. It's all confidential if you want to talk about the anger and stuff that goes on. But
yeah,
we could go for hours on this situation. But they should have some good clinics inside the military, whatever. You don't want that to escalate, because I've seen what the anger can turn into rage, and I'll leave it at that. It can be pretty bad.
Let's go to Robert. Robert.
Hey, Jude, how you doing?
I'm good, man. You served in the Army?
Yes, sir, I did.
You got Shad and David.
Thank you to Chad and the other gentleman there. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Man, thanks for your support. Thank you for your service.
So what are you going through, man?
So I got out in 2006, September 13th, and when I first got out, I didn't know anything that was going on. I have a lot of my record with the VA.
You broke up. You said you have a lot of what?
Attempted suicides.
Yeah, it's an important thing for us to hear. You had a lot of attempted suicides?
Yes, sir. And so I just want people to know, if you're feeling suicidal, reach out to somebody, anybody, even a stranger. Just say hello to a stranger and let them try to interact with you, because it's a hard struggle when you're driving around and you're thinking, I'm just going to drive off into something and kill myself, or I'm going to use these pills from the VA to overdose. And you stay in that dark place and you don't let anybody in, it's going to happen. And we don't need that.
How have you been able to stop yourself from offing yourself?
This last time, honestly, I was in the car with my wife and we parked at Target, and I looked over at her and I started getting teary eyed, and I told her, just the other day, I was thinking about suicide and overdosing on my pills. And we talked through it. She asked what I needed, what she could do to help. And I don't have family. My wife and her side of the family is my family. So she's reaching out to my brother to see if we can connect and get things back together.
Robert, I'm going to give you this number. Write this shit down. So, because your wife loves you, but she probably can't understand everything that you're going through and doesn't speak the exact language that you speak. You know what I mean? And, yo, dog, that shit made me tear up just listening to you, man. Like, I feel for you. 888-777-4443.
Yeah, you call us. This is Shad talking, man. Don't put all that on your wife. She's there for you. But this is the suicide ideation is what we deal with. We're dealing with it every day. There's 22 of our brother and sister vets taking their life every day.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Putting that on your wife is that's a heavy load for her to walk around with, bro. So you gotta find someone else that you can talk
yeah,
to.
Yeah, let her be your wife and get a good professional. We'll direct you to someone in your area to get into, so you can get rid of these depressive thoughts and things that drive you to wanting to terminate yourself.
Yeah, that's a last. Have her be your last chance. You know what I mean? Talk to other people first. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be better for your relationship moving forward.
And I agree.
And if it's after hours, leave a message or whatever. Just give us time to get to you. Leave a number clearly because. You know, we're covering the whole country. We want to get to you. And God bless you for your service.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. And if you haven't got it yet, everybody, Hyena, Hummingbird, and the Vinyl, grab them.
Thanks,
man. Love you, Jude. Love you. Love you, veterans out there. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Happy Memorial Weekend.
Just out of curiosity, Robert, did the book help you at all? Like,
oh, big time. Those books have changed my life, Jude. It gave me a completely different outlook on everything. And all those stories, whether they were bad or good, I learned something good from all of them. I've learned how to be a better person and how to open up more. So
I just wanted because you're coming from a place where your normal is crazy. You know what I mean? Your normal was fucking dysfunctional and crazy. And then you go out into, I'm doing quote-unquote normal society, and you don't fit. And, like, you're not like a monster, bro. You just went through some different shit. Your normal was different than everybody else's, man. And keep your head up and keep pushing, bro.
Right on, brother.
I appreciate that, Drew.
All right,
Thank you, Chad, David.
God bless you, man. Stay cool.
I'm glad to hear that, man. 888-742-3345. Actually, we haven't spoken to anybody who's who has a family member. Maggie in North Carolina.
Hi.
Go ahead, Maggie.
Hi, I just have been listening to y'all, and it's been really eye-opening because I've been struggling. I met my husband after he was, when he was getting out of the service, and he was in Iraq and Afghanistan between four different deployments twice each time. And he has, you know, I was not aware. We've been dealing with some suicidal issues, and I am not from a military background. I do not understand it. And I've been trying to get help and stuff at the VA, and it's so frustrating because no one will see him. And even when he says, I want to kill myself, so I don't know what to do. And it's just been really challenging, but hearing you guys just really kind of opens up my eyes that he needs to find. It triggered when his last deployment buddy killed himself, and he found out, and he was like, well, I can't handle it either. I can't do this. And it just kind of has kind of gone downhill.
Don't let him isolate. You get a hold of our number. We'll talk with you. We'll direct you to wherever we can, wherever you are. You're in North Carolina. We worked with the suicide vet there earlier this year, and we've got connections. We're tenacious at finding them, but don't put all this on your shoulders. This is a real serious issue that takes a professional person, someone that deals with it all the time, to really help him move on with his life. But God, he's lucky to have you there. But you're not responsible for all of his mental health, particularly, as Jude was saying, this dark stuff, because it's real dark. And unless you've been there or in there, you can't describe it.
Yeah, it's any single discussion goes to, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been through. You won't love me if you know what I ever did. And I'm like, well, I don't know what. I don't know what to do at that point.
It's, yeah, shit you can do.
You don't need to do anything other than help get him to someone that knows how to work with war trauma and his readjustment issues. You need to focus on.
He's got
to
learn how to forgive himself. He's carrying around a lot of, sounds like he's got a lot of pain, and he's got
four tours. That's
a lot.
He's he voluntarily signed up for one because his best friend died instead of him and, like, in his arms.
So he's got survivor's guilt.
Yeah, so then he just said, well, screw it, I'm just going to keep going until I die. And I'm like, well, that was a good decision.
Well, look, man, he's got you. I'm going to say this number again, 888-777-4443. And we do this, a couple times a year with Shad because we have so many fucking vets. And, yo, look, man, we also got a lot of cats that just are from the hood and, like, got PTSD. They go through, like, you don't have to go to war to have PTSD, like...
You know, I always say the only good thing that came out of Vietnam was the definition of PTSD. There were about four or five of us that worked on it in the 70s. Most of us were vets, and we knew it was not psychosis or character disorder. But, yeah, it's not something that, you know, we know a lot more 40-something years later than we knew then, and there's no reason not to go to professionals for the advice and direction that you need, but you don't want to play with something like that if you're not trained in it.
Bobby in Nevada. Bobby,
no, this is Bobby in New York. Are you talking to me?
Oh yeah, sorry. It looks like a V on my thing. Go ahead, Bobby in New York.
Hey, dude, I was wondering if you had any success stories. Like, I mean, this medication and then all this counseling. Is there a point where you don't have to take any more pills, and hey, it worked. You know, I mean, I never hear that, and I've been, you know, I've been taking all this shit. And
what are you taking right now?
Well, I'm taking four different medications: Prozosin and Sertraline and Bupropion, or the hell, two more other ones that I have for anxiety. But I was just wondering, it doesn't seem like it helps. I mean, not really.
Well, I'm not an MD, but we get this all the time, and we've helped. Connect people with different types of other treatment modalities around the country. One that I just did, we talked about a minute ago, not a treatment, but about a suicide patient in North Carolina, was he found if you heard of ketamine, you might look it up. It's an old drug that's been around, but they're really starting to treat depression and PTSD with ketamine injections. And if you like, after the show, whatever, you can call our toll-free number when I get a chance, where I get back there.
I got a plug,
we'll,
too.
We'll talk about it, but there's some other plugs. Go ahead.
I got a K-plug if you need one.
Oh, God.
I was going to say, I never heard of ketamine, so I listen to Rude Jude, so I don't even know what the hell that fucking is.
No, but it's funny. It's I was self-medicating for years and didn't even realize that's what I was doing. Unfortunately for me, I abused anything you can abuse, and I was doing, like, I was doing what one person's month was in a day, back to back to back. So, but it's tough taking the drugs too, because when you're taking those drugs, it's reaffirming that you're not normal, because if you don't take the drugs, then you're not fucking normal. You know, it's like you're only normal if you're taking these fucking things, and it that's got to be tough on you.
If you're getting your meds from the VA, you know, the one thing that we're finding out, there's not a lot of treatments. Depends on the VA. For PTSD, there used to be several, but they've shut most of them down. Inpatient PTSD centers, which I would recommend, but there's EMDR, there's TFT, there's TIR. We can get you that information through the foundation when you call, but there are a lot of treatment modalities. In the excessive drugs or whatever, first of all, I don't even know how you go to work, because we have a lot of them coming in with grocery bags. For one day of drugs, 13 different drugs to take for different types of anxiety, depression, sleep.
And that's whatever. Hard on the brain. That's
hard
on the liver.
The body. It's hard on everything. So there are lots of alternatives. And I'm, you know, like I said, I'm not an MD on the drugs, but we find that there's a lot more safer and better with less side effects. Some with no side effects in treating your PTSD.
Let's go to Todd from the Army in Sacramento. What's going on?
How you doing, Jude? Appreciate you guys. So I one of the things I heard the caller before, I actually worked for the VA, and one of the callers before, you guys gave him the phone number, and I was wondering if you guys were promoting the crisis line as well, the national crisis line with the veteran, the number one for veteran. And, you know, just to try to keep, you know, a lot of veterans don't even know about some of the resources that's out there. And part of what my job is, I'm a peer specialist, and I help veterans to try to navigate through the VA. And those are one of the things that, from my own experience, when I got out the Army, that wasn't available or wasn't really, it wasn't open to the public. And I was actually down in GLA. So a lot of things have changed. And so a lot of things that we're doing better at the VA, I just, you know, wanted to make sure we got a plug with that, because the numbers aren't moving, but they're not getting worse.
Well, this is Shad talking. We've had the longest suicide crisis hotline in the country. We started years ago, 20 years ago. And you know, when the numbers came out a few years back, about 20, 22 a day, then everybody was supposedly starting their line. But most of our calls come from vets that tried the VA suicide hotline and didn't get results. So majority of ours come from failure of the VA number. I'll tell you that straight up.
Not everyone's lucky enough to get you, Todd. You know, like,
yeah.
For real. Like, not everyone's
but
lucky enough
they're
to get
you. They're great people in the VA. My career started in the VA. The Vet Center started out of my work in the VA. So they're great people.
So you're saying 22 vets a day are killing themselves?
That's right.
That's nuts, man. Look, and people, like, I fuck with the vets. I'm not crazy about our fucking foreign policy, but that's neither here nor there. What I am for is for our folks, man, our people that went out there and decided to work for our country, and they're in pain, like, And I guess what I'm saying is, even whether you agree with the shit or not, we got humans here in America that are going through a fucking thing. And I'm gonna ask for you, hit up nvf.org, donate, throw some donations there. These guys are doing it on their own. They don't got any fucking rich dude that's floating them. They're doing this shit on their own. Any donation can fucking help, whether it's fucking a buck or $100. You know what I'm saying? Just hit up nvf.org. There's a little spot where you can donate some money, kick these guys some cash so they can help out these dudes. The phone lines are full. The phone lines are full and ringing off the hook. I'm just talking to as many people.
Same
as
at our shop, and I really appreciate it, Jude. We're trying to raise money to get up 24/7. As we talked earlier, there's a million, 2 million different charities around, but we've got one of the longest histories, and we're a 4-star charity organization. Not many of those as a veteran charity, and we. The majority of our people are veterans, so they understand. But the resources we need are to go up more than 8 hours a day. And it's overwhelming, but we're there. Hey, one step at a time, I guess. But I can't thank you enough for bringing the NVF up to the country and letting them know what we do.
Man, as long as you're here, I'm going to keep bringing you back on. That's the way I look at it. And what's an hour? I do this shit 5 days a week. So like an hour to the vets.
That's what Memorial Day is really about. I've said it the last few times we did Memorial Day. You know, everybody thinks it's about consumerism and shopping. Yeah. Memorial Day sale. Everybody, you look at the paper. Today it was twice its size with Memorial Day sales, and everybody associates Memorial Day with shopping at a discount, and that's been going on for years. But it's really a tough day for those that are suffering, because they realize that the majority of them aren't going to be shopping, and they could care less if they're going to get $100 off their 65-inch TV screen or whatever. You've heard some of the voices of veterans around the country. That's not what's on their mind, and that's not what Memorial Day is about.
What I found so that I didn't think about is almost how suicide is contagious, where it's like one of these cats killed themselves, and then it gets in the mind of his homeboy, and it's like, man, I fucking dead myself too. Like,
that's one way to deal with it. That's what they're thinking. That's one way. Maybe he knew something. Maybe, you know, you start considering that option, which is a terrible option.
And then even if you don't do it quick, you do it slow. A lot of cats do it slow. They drink themselves to death. They fucking get hooked on
Well, we've seen it all David's answering those calls along with the rest of the team.
Yeah, sometimes sometimes you don't even see signs. One of my buddies, his name's Jeff, he killed himself a few years ago, and he was in Iraq before I did. I went to relieve him, you know, switch out companies, and we didn't even know. You know, I still have a tight group of vets, corpsmen or Marines that I talk to, and, you know, that's my outlet, you know. You know, he said we have a dark sense of humor, and, you know, we can joke around with these guys. But we didn't know for, I think, about a year or two that that happened to him. And my buddy Cam was just curious because he's like, you know, I usually get a call from him once a year or anything like that. It's been a while. And he looked him up, and sure enough, he saw his name in the obituary. And, you know, it was unfortunate because when they had the funeral and everything like that, his family didn't have us there, his friends, because we didn't know. And we actually got together, and we planned a trip up there. And, you know, three other corpsmen that I served with and about four of the Marines were there for his family. And they helped his mom and dad get the closure that, you know, they're still suffering. I shouldn't say closure, but they made
At least they saw that, like, damn, all right, he had somebody that cared about him.
Yeah, and, you know, we just shared stories with their mom and his dad and, you know, just, you know, hey, Jeff this, Jeff that. You know, we did a lot of shenanigans back then, and I think it gave him a little peace of mind when we went up there and talked to him. So,
David, Shad, I really appreciate you guys coming up here, taking calls. Can we take the rest of these we'll talk to the rest of y'all cats while the songs are playing. Since they drove all the way here and you are on the phone already.
Dude, once again, we can't thank you enough. And the last time I did the show, I had calls from relatives that listened to your show, your favorite show. And what was funny, they had no idea. They were like second cousins in district that I, even the work I did. They're in Florida, and it's incredible the importance of your show and getting the word out. I really mean that.
Man, thank you. And, people think I'm bullshitting. I get to go, like, when I did my book tour, a real gift to me was to be able to go meet the people that listen. And we got all walks of life that listen. And we got the backbone of America that listens to Shade 45. And I appreciate all of y'all. And today this one goes out to the vets and to the people that are suffering from PTSD that didn't go to war, and to the family members
and the children
whose dad had that shit, whose husband has that shit, whose wife has that shit, whose kids are going through that shit. You're not alone. Once again, 888-777-4443, nvf.org.
Thank you, Jude.
Thank you, Jude. Take some of that money you're gonna do off of Memorial Day sales, and say take that $20 and donate it over there.
By the way, David's in the middle of your book. I shared your book with David. He's got it in his
Which
desk.
One are you reading, Hyena or what? Hummingbird?
I'm gonna start reading Hummingbird.
Yeah, that one's darker.
Thank you.
Don't go anywhere if you're on the phone. We're gonna talk to you all. All right, let's go.